Hey, Becca, what's the best platform to sell an online course with?
The only answer is Kajabi. It's an all-in-one platform where you can host your course or your membership and your blog and your website and a podcast and your email all in one.
And even better, you can get a free 30-day trial of Kajabi to see why we love it so much.
See the links below or head to teachwellonline.com/Kajabi to get a 30-day free trial. And you can play around with your course, with your membership, and see all the tools it has to offer to grow your business.
If you want to teach well online, write lesson plans.
Welcome to the Teach Well Online podcast, where we want to help you teach well, and we believe everyone can if they know how. We are in a series walking through the entire alphabet, letter A to Z, on how you can show up and teach well online. And welcome, we have reached episode L, which is all about lesson plans.
In today's episode, we're going to talk all about lesson planning. We're going to convince you why they are so important, not just for you as a teacher, but how they are really designed to help your learner.
And if you want to make sure that people love your course, spread the word about it, and you make more money, you are not going to want to miss every single detail of this episode.
Hey, Becca, what do you like to do for fun?
I actually hate this question because I feel like I'm in an identity crisis when I say that. Like, I don't really know. I feel like I'm coming out of this motherhood stage where what I like to do for fun, it didn't matter because we had very small children and it was put away for a while. And then we were really building businesses and we're still building businesses. And so it's like, actually what I like to do for fun now, I'm very confident to say, is I like to think about work. I like to think about working with you. I like to take walks with you. I like to travel. I like to relax. I like to go out to eat. So I think it's less focused on like, what are my hobbies and do I have a hobby, which sounds nice and maybe one day I'll get there. But I think for me, like, what do I like to do for fun? I like to just enjoy what's around me and enjoy our family, enjoy our friends. What about you? What would you say?
I like to go outside. I think for me, fun is, especially if it's a nice, warm summer day, I just like to go outside. I like to wash cars at this stage in my life, which is weird.
Do, yes.
Don't understand
There's
that.
There's your hobby.
But you like to garden and stuff. So, you know, it's just like having something to do with your hands. I guess when you're in the tech industry and you're always on a computer and you're always online running a business, for me, I just want to do the complete opposite and just get outside, work with my hands, enjoy the sunshine. Except for, again, in the winter, I kind of like to hibernate and just stay inside. But
which kind of stinks at like both. I do enjoy, you know, gardening and things like that, but I think I've forgotten about that because we just came out of winter and I wasn't imagining it. But now we're in spring and we can actually get outside, which is nice.
I see what my parents do for fun now. And I'm like, okay, maybe as I get older, I'm going to start to gravitate towards some of those things that actually I can't stand at the moment. But like my parents will send me a video and a picture of like a puzzle that they're doing. And I'm like, puzzles, that's cool. At this point in my life, like I can do a 50, you know, piece puzzle with my kids because I'm doing it for the kids. But if you were to give me a 100-piece puzzle, I'm going to get a little bit frustrated. If you get me one of those 500-piece puzzles, I'm probably going to be straight up mad at that point. And then if you even say the word 10,000-piece puzzle, I'm gone. Where's the fire? I want to throw it in the fire. I don't like puzzles.
I think anybody would throw out a 10,000-piece puzzle. You skip like, I think 500 to 10,000, but that just shows you. Yeah, no. I think one time I was like, hey, maybe we should do a puzzle because we don't have much to do at nighttime. When the kids go to bed, we like don't have the same likes and shows. And I remember thinking, we could do puzzles. And you were just like, no.
If you were to ask me, hey, Chad, let's do a puzzle, I'm literally going to say, what are we drinking? Just like, but you know me good enough to know that I'm bringing up puzzles for a reason. Because when we talk about lesson planning, I like to think about a lesson plan as a puzzle. And here's what I mean by that. You may have experienced lesson planning. In fact, if you're a teacher, if you're a former teacher, you hear the word lesson plan and that's equivalent to a cuss word. You're like, you mean I got a lesson plan? Like, teachers don't like the lesson plan. But if you have no idea about teaching, if you're new to education, if you really want to teach well online and you hear what is a lesson plan, you're intrigued, but it sounds like more paperwork. It sounds like just another thing to do. But if you understand the purpose of a lesson plan and how it fits into an online course, which is what we're going to talk through in today's episode, I hope just in the next 15, 20 minutes, we can convince you that it is critically important and it will help you and it'll help your learners so much. But I think about a puzzle. When you look at a puzzle and it's all complete, you're looking at the final picture. It makes sense. All of the pieces are connected together and you're looking at something and it makes you happy. It makes sense. Everything works together. Well, a lesson plan, a single lesson, is just like an individual piece of the puzzle. It's got little protrusions that connect to other pieces. It's got these little indentions that other pieces connect to it. And that is how a lesson and a lesson plan works in terms of teaching an online course. It is a piece contained in and of itself that connects to other pieces and that connects to other pieces and ultimately to the main point of the course.
I love how you, this is why you're so good at what you do, Chad, is because as you're explaining that, my flashbacks, like you said, my flashbacks bubble up this like Sunday scaries, really, when I was a teacher and you were a teacher as well. And we had to sit down and like submit our lesson plans on PowerSchool. And I absolutely hated writing these things because I'm actually not a great planner. I know what I need to cover, but they don't teach you how to lesson plan. And I, you know, we joke about my fake master's degree. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to past episodes. My poor cohort in college just got skipped over and we ended up, long story short, writing skits. Not like getting published. It was, yeah, whole nother thing. However, even with 5 years of college education on education, there was not one single class on how to write a lesson plan. And so today's podcast, this episode, is like the missing puzzle piece for all individuals who are wanting to teach. This episode alone is going to help you have these aha moments and not approach the idea of, oh, I have to lesson plan my course. I thought that was for the classroom. This is going to bring you some actual tangible ways that you can think through how will this puzzle fit together? Because the worst thing that you could do is have a course where the pieces don't fit and then you have angry learners, you're giving refunds, you're not getting the great reviews, and then it fizzles out and the course goes bust.
Think about it this way. A lesson plan is the work before the work. In fact, I would say lesson planning is 80% of the work. If you lesson plan correctly, you know how to do it. That's the hard work of teaching and delivering an online course. The rest of the 20% is literally just showing up and communicating what it is that you wrote out.
Which is good news that 80% of the hard work is what we're talking about today. And a lot of people want to skip this hard work piece. And even thinking about the entire A to Z episodes that we're doing on how to teach well, this is one of those tactical pieces that you cannot skip out on. You know, you may not be ready for those entire 31 keys for delivery. You need to write this well first. And this is such a great time to remember that your course is your skill. It is your craft. It is what you've been doing all along. And we're putting it into a lesson plan course format.
I like to think about it this way. If your lesson doesn't have a plan, your lesson doesn't have a point. And you're like, well, yeah, it has many points. And I'm like, that's the point, right? If your lesson doesn't have a plan, it doesn't have a point. And there, that doesn't mean that you can't learn from rambling. That doesn't mean that you can't just get on there and just ramble and just talk because, hey, there's a lot of y'all out there. You're really good at talking. You could sit and talk for hours and just go in so many different directions and that's totally fine. But the problem with rambling is that it doesn't connect to anything. You think about a puzzle piece. It's not connecting. It's not threading that learning journey together into a final outcome. And the problem with rambling is that you're forcing your learners to do the work of connecting the dots. If you plan your lessons well, if you connect them well, then you are doing the work for your learners to make sure that they know how all of the pieces connect together in the end.
You know, Donald Miller talks about how your brain burns calories when we ask people to think. And I've always thought about this. Even without the analogy of like, oh, burning calories and it takes a lot of effort to think, we imagine this a lot in our marketing for our sleep courses because people are tired and they cannot even have the capacity to think for themselves. And so the way that we planned out our entire sleep courses was very much giving them, like we said, bite-sized pieces, but every lesson had a point to it that they could take action on because these people are tired. They don't need me to sit there and go on and on and on about the wonderful benefits of sleep or even the sleep science benefits, like just freaking tell me how to get my kid to sleep. That's the point. And so I love that you mentioned like there's the point to it and there's the rambling piece to it because you know as you're listening to this, if you tend to be the rambler person. And so we want to try to rein you in a bit to help you understand, let's get to the point. Let your personality shine, but getting to the point is key.
Now you might be thinking, I'm not a planning kind of person in life in general. Like I don't plan my day. I don't plan my schedules. I don't like to plan anything. I'm just a free spirit. I like to go with it. So now you're trying to convince me to actually plan my lessons and I'm good at my skill. I'm good at my craft. I just want to talk about it, but now I actually have to think about it. Why do I need to do that? And I just want to tell you that lesson planning is not for you. Lesson planning is for your learners. the whole reason that you lesson plan and you think through what it is that you're going to teach is for them, not for you.
What a relief that you are not writing the perfect lesson plan for you to study and for you to marvel over and to even print out and frame on the wall. This has nothing to do with how great you are. This has to do with how well you're packaging it for the person to come in, learn, and see complete transformation, which is the point of teaching online.
I like to think about it in terms of an airline pilot. So the airline pilot, he goes into the cockpit or she goes into the cockpit and sits down. They close that door and they have the instrument control panel. They have the flight path. So when that plane takes off, they're flying that airplane. They know where they are. They know their altitude. They know their speed. They know every single waypoint that it's going to take. They know what the weather's going to be like. They know the turbulence. So what I'm saying is the pilot knows the entire journey and they know how that entire journey is going to end up. But if you're the passenger in the airplane, you only know your seat. You're staring at a wall. You're looking at a closed door. You don't know what the journey is going to look like. And so as we start to feel those bumps in the turbulence, maybe the anxiety kicks in and you're like, I don't like this feeling, or if it's smooth skies, but all you have is the seat in front of you and the window. But the pilot knows everything. Well, similarly, if you're teaching and you're lesson planning, you know the entire journey. You know how all of the lessons that you're going to be teaching in your course fit together and how they're going to work to bring the learner through that journey. Your learner only knows what they're experiencing in that lesson, which is why it's really important to craft it well and be able to connect those dots for them.
So Chad, are you saying that as we're putting our entire puzzle together, which is the course, and these pieces are the lesson plans, are these things that we are just making up entirely? Or how do we even know what the puzzle pieces are?
Well, if you want to know what your puzzle pieces are or your lesson plans are, the very first step, and I teach this when I teach about writing an online course, the very first step is to hold up a mirror in front of yourself and ask the question, what do you do? Where does your success come from? So many times we get caught up in education and trying to be like a teacher that we think, okay, well, what should our learners know? But the reality is the very first thing we need to do is look in a mirror and go, what is it that I do? You are creating the pieces of the puzzle so that they can do what you do, they can know what you know, and they can be successful just like you so that in the end, it looks like a complete puzzle.
So as an example, if you are someone who has an entire business on creating bespoke garden designs, which are some Instagram accounts I like to follow, if you have this formula that you follow to create these beautiful custom gardens for your clients, then what you're going to do if you're thinking, I want to teach this online, I want to teach how I create these beautiful bespoke custom gardens online, then you're going to hold up a mirror to your service. What are you thinking through? What are you doing? What are the unique ideas that you're getting from your brain that maybe you're questioning? All of these finite details, you need to be writing them down. And the best thing for you to do is have a client that you're working with and then document every single step of the way. Because oftentimes, as you and I are really good at our skill or our craft or our service, we are just innately doing these things. It's become second nature to us. You don't need to look at the script or the plan or whatever it is to know how to make this. I think about, we went to Cava last week, and I don't know if you noticed this, but on the side of the bar at Cava, they had the list of how to make every single one of their salads. But no one was touching that. Everybody on the line knew how to make these salads. They already had it ingrained in them. So if I were to ask them to write the steps down, they don't need to go look at the card. They could just make the salad from heart. It's the same thing that you're doing. With your custom bespoke garden plans, you know exactly what to do, but now take the time to write it down. And this has nothing to do for your brain. This has everything to do for the learner that will come in and learn how you create these custom garden designs.
Okay, so if we haven't convinced you enough, let's talk about why lesson planning is so important, both for you and for your learner.
Well, for me, as the course writer, it makes my work so much easier when I get this hard part done. And let me speak a little bit more, because we kind of said that a minute ago, like, oh, this is the hard work. This is like 80% of the work. However, remember we talked about, like, I'm not a transcript person, but you are. Chad is like such a transcript person. I'm an outline kind of gal. I know what I want to say if you just tell me the bullet points. guess what? That's your lesson plan. So you don't even have to do double the work. You're not creating a lesson plan and then over here now going to write out your bullet points. The lesson plan are your bullet points for what you're going to teach. And so if you do this 80% of the work to write out your entire lesson plan, now this takes it even a bigger leap forward to be ready to record your entire course. So remember, this is the hard work and it takes the longest time for you to complete this. However, once it's done, it's like you're ready to get that snowball rolling.
Another really good reason to write a lesson plan is it keeps your content contained. So instead of spewing this fire hose of information and literally just rambling and saying everything that's on top of your mind, it keeps it contained into a nice organized flow. It brings content in. You're only saying exactly what you need to say in order to achieve the action that you're leading them to. And then you end that lesson. So it keeps it all wrapped up in a nice little package.
When you have a plan for your lesson, you can step into this time as you're writing and you're talking, you're creating, you can make it more interesting. So Chad talked about how a lesson needs to have a point. When you have the point for your lesson mapped out, now is the fun part. It's the freedom of like, well, what story do I want to tell? Is there an illustration I want to give? Is there something, some activity, some call to action that my learner can take? They can have this point and I can mold it and shape it and show them what I'm trying to tell them. If your lesson has way too many points in it, then you're going to be scattered. Remember from episode J, where you're trying to lead the learner through a journey and that journey leads through the transformation? Nobody wants to go on a trip that's not fun. So as you're going through your lesson plans and you can create interest and you can have these peaks of exploration, remember to create a lesson plan that has a point and that point can actually have some really interesting concepts to it.
Writing a great lesson plan will also keep it attainable. So every lesson should focus on just one action. It should have one main purpose to it. And so if you craft a lesson around one single outcome is what we like to say, then it keeps it way more attainable. The likelihood that your learner will actually succeed is much higher.
I know we lean into that a lot. Like you want your learner to win. Chad and I want you to make a lot of money on your course. We want you to write a fantastic online course that's taught really, really well so that you make more money. But you're not going to have any of that if your course is really bad, if it's written poorly, if there's no point, if it's just scattered everywhere and it's a bunch of rambling. We care so deeply that your course has results and that doesn't just translate into dollar signs because those dollar signs will disappear if your learners literally are not experiencing transformation or they're really angry at you for not delivering on the promise that you gave on your sales page. This is like a little side tangent, but this is why we care so much about how you show up to teach well because no one else is talking about this. And we want you to have fans and we want you to build your tribe, but you can only do that and make more money online if you teach well and those learners are satisfied.
If we haven't given you enough reasons already on why you should write a lesson plan, here's maybe a really great final one. It keeps you consistent. If you've established a templated standard for how you're going to deliver each lesson, because here's the thing, it's not like you're reinventing the wheel every time that you teach a lesson. They have the same kind of blocks that you write in, the same kind of flow that you teach through. And if you establish that standard of consistency from lesson to lesson, then your learners are more likely to trust you and know what to expect every time that they get into one of your lessons.
I was listening to a podcast this morning because you know, I love Ina Garten. I love her.
You do.
I love Ina and I've been watching her shows for years and years and years. I have many of her cookbooks. Her memoir comes out this fall, but I was listening. She had a podcast interview and Julia Louise Dreyfus was the podcast interviewer. Wiser Than Me, such a great podcast. You should go listen to that. However, Julia brought up the point that Ina always looks consistent. She shows up on her show and you know what she's going to look like. She's got the button down. She sometimes got the pearls, she got the little scarf. Like she has a consistent outfit. And what's interesting is I thought she just bought a whole bunch of the same ones. She actually asked Talbots to make her more of the exact same shirt in different fabrics. And they said yes. And so she's known for this signature standard look that when you see it, you're like, that's Ina. And I know that you and I are not Ina Garten. However, if you think about it, it's the same principle. When she shows up, we know what to expect and we feel so comfortable with that. And I want to buy more of her cookbooks because I know what she looks like. I know her recipes are consistent. I know it's easy to use. It's the same analogy with you and I. When I show up into your lesson, when I show up into your course, I want to feel comfortable. I want to feel excited because I know who you are. I'm not feeling like I'm surprised every time I open this up. When you have these consistent lessons and the consistent flow of how you're teaching, I am going to be so much more likely to become your fan and to want to continue buying from you.
And now that you made us all hungry.
Exactly.
I know the way to your heart is a cookbook.
Oh, so yes.
Anyway. But those are all great reasons why you as a teacher should write lesson plans. But remember, a lesson plan isn't for you. It's for your learner. They're the one that need a plan. So let's look at a couple of really good convincing reasons why you should lesson plan for them. First of all, if you lesson plan, your students are more likely to actually finish the lesson. I mentioned this before, a really great tip to reading a book is to never put the book down until you actually finish the chapter, because it allows you to come back to that book when you continue reading again and you're starting with a fresh chapter and you don't have to think about where did you leave off, where do you pick up again. Well, your students are more likely to actually finish your lesson if it's planned. Why? Because if you plan a lesson, that means that you're taking every bit of time, every bit of space that you have to make sure that you're drilling down the point and leading to that outcome. You're not going in a bunch of rabbit trails. You're not going off into a bunch of other tangents. You're not distracting from the core purpose of that lesson. And if everything that you say is driving home to the single point of that lesson, they're more likely to finish it.
Taking it a step further, your learner is more likely to actually do the thing that you're teaching them to do and to succeed at it because you've written a lesson plan that has one clear point. Imagine they actually finish the lesson and then they go do what you just told them to do. That's amazing. As a teacher, you are watching that person kind of figuratively because it's all online, but you can get the review from them. You can understand that they are putting it into action, which is amazing. Just like you and I wouldn't tell our girls like 10 things to do all at once. We would break it down into like a step-by-step. Okay, please go upstairs, you know, put your clothes in the laundry, go to your room, get your jammies, go to the bathroom. Like they got to get that play-by-play, not getting everything dumped on them at once.
Have you ever tried to put IKEA furniture together?
The worst.
There's a reason that the instruction plans are so thick most times because they literally, you can only do one thing at a time and it won't work. I've tried to put an IKEA piece together without reading the instructions, which was the dumbest thing I ever did. Because if you do that, you might as well just throw it in a dumpster, because to figure out how to even undo the thing and then redo the thing, it's a mess. But it's that same point, like your learner will be more likely to succeed at the action that you're teaching them to do if you just teach that one action before moving on. That's good teaching. That's also good lesson planning.
If you can't tell already, we are huge fans of your learner. Your person buying this needs to be the one that is experiencing a massive win. It is not about you and how wonderful your lesson plan is. It's how wonderful the plan is for the learner.
Another benefit to lesson planning for your learner is that it helps them track their progress. They know exactly where they are in the course. They know what lesson they're on. They know what module that they're in. They know how it connects to the outcome. And so they don't have to guess like, okay, how close am I to the finish line? Where am I at? It helps them stay on track with their progress.
Listen, as someone who isn't really a plan kind of gal, I hope that today we have convinced you that you cannot miss this step. You cannot have an online course and say, I want to go make money online. I want people to buy my skill, craft, or service that I've bundled into an online program without lesson planning, without having the pieces of the puzzle, because you cannot just sell a puzzle before you actually put it together. And so today's episode was all about why these puzzle pieces matter and how they can end up fitting together to bring your learner some huge wins.
If you're convinced, I need to do a better job planning my course, I need to do a better job planning my lessons, the first thing you can do is just write down everything that you do in your skill or in your service that you want to teach in a course. Just write down everything that you do. That's going to start to give you those clear lesson breakdown points in which you can start to plan your lessons.
And we would actually love to get our eyes on this and give you some feedback. If you want to send over your brain dump list to us over on our Instagram account at TeachWellOnline, we would love to pop in, give you some feedback, give you some encouragement to help guide you on your journey. If you've been listening to our show, but you haven't left us a review, would you scroll down into your podcast app and leave us a rating and review? We read every single one of these and it means the world to us as we grow this podcast and especially spread the news that when you can teach well online, you will sell more.
Remember, anyone can teach well online
if they know how.